The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Monday morning, the 25th, is it? Of November 2019. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan at rte.ie. And it is nearly 4 minutes past nine, but we have a busy day for you. Busy morning between now and 10, and then my day goes into full toy show preparation mode. I have a lot of work to do. They have been working around the clock behind the scenes, but now it's time for me to come in, make my presence felt, and wreck their heads. And I will do this. I will do this. We have four sleeps to go, and it's exciting. I see a big Christmas tree arrived on the campus at the Stillorgan Plaza, as we like to call the little space outside here, where we gather on occasions for a particular, for whatever reason it might be, Walcon. Tweet to say, right, Ryan, we've the tree up for you. Now bring on the toy show. So thank you for that tree. That's a beautiful tree. There are gorgeous trees knocking around the place. And so it begins. We're very, very excited. Her.ie reporting that the top 10 Christmas movies have been released in terms of obviously some class of poll. And they're going with number 10, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 9, The Polar Express, probably one of the most depressing Christmas films I've ever seen, does nothing for me. And yet, that's a very divide. It's a curate's egg of a movie. I realise there's a heap of, but there's no, we won't do a big text poll on Polar Express. So I'm just saying, I don't like it, you like it, that's fine. Number 8, Gremlins, which I haven't seen for a thousand years. 7, Arthur Christmas, left me cold. 6, Nightmare Before Christmas. Cool for School. 5, The Santa Claus, which is always very good too. 4, The Grinch, desperate film. 3, Love Actually, can't bear that film. Never liked it. 2, Elf, probably one of the best films ever made. And 1, Home Alone, which I was a bit too old for when it came out at the time, but will now be going back to, and still think it's funny. But they're giving that number 1. Obviously, It's a Wonderful Life is the best Christmas film ever made. And then there was another one I came across 1,000 years ago by accident on a Sunday afternoon, black and white, called The Holly and the Ivy. Really sad film with Ralph Richardson, and it involved booze and taboo subjects in the probably 40s and 50s, but a lovely film that stayed with me. And I found myself drawn to, utterly absorbed by, and completely addicted to watching yesterday afternoon, Great Expectations, with John Mills and a very young Alec Guinness going through the world of Miss Havisham and others. And it was the perfect accompaniment to a Sunday afternoon with a bit of Dickens. And you know that those old films where everyone talks far too fast. Did you think I was going to do that? Did I think you were going to do that? Did you think you were going to do that? Absolutely not. How dare you? You're looking at me like that. I am looking at you like that. Why are you looking at me like that for? Because you're looking at me like that. I dare you. Well, good day to you, sir. I like those films. They're just the kind of the clipped English brief encounter style films. They kind of bring a smile to your face. They're very sweet. I'm really enjoying that. As am I enjoying the C.J. Sansom book, Disillusion. Which brings me to a point, actually, we're just diverted from the papers for a moment. I went to the library yesterday, which locally in Dun Laoghaire actually opens on a Sunday, which is crazy. And it was really busy, which I thought was brilliant. Loads of students getting their exam study done before Christmas, and that was good. Anyway, why was I there? Well, I got this copy of C.J. Sansom's book, Disillusion. What is that? That's based on the Reformation, 15th century, hunchback lawyer detective going into the monks to say, lads, you're all corrupt. What's happening here? There's a crime. There's a few deaths. It's really good. Reminds me of Robert Harris' Cicero series, but actually done in the 16th century. If you told me that a 16th century book about the monks and detective story would be interesting, I would have laughed in your face. But then it got sent to me as part of my book clubby thing that I'm doing. Well, I'm doing with Dubray, send me a book every month and as part of a thing I signed up to. And this was one, and it was great. It opened my eyes and I love it. Anyway, back to the point. Why was I in the library? Because the copy of the book I have is, it's paperback, but it's small. And because I'm of an age now, and even though I'm wearing glasses when I'm reading it, it's still small. Now, I know you could pump up the glasses. I get that. But that's not the point, because I actually can read without my glasses a lot of the time as well. However, at a time at night, you just want a good, precise print. So, you know when you go to the airport sometimes and you have an airport copy of a book, or you see it sometimes when they're released in hardback, they're bigger. And they might be longer, more doorsteppy, but they're bigger. They're much easier to read. Now, I would have thought C.J. Sansom had his books in that format. So I went to the library to say, bet you they'll have them here. They didn't. If anyone knows, do they or did they or where are they, please let me know, and I'd appreciate that. 51551, because I'm going to read the whole series because it's so good and seems to fit for this time of the year as well. There's something about monks and chanting and all the mysteries of it all that I find utterly intriguing. And he uses a lot of words I've never heard of before. So I dragged the dictionary off the shelf and have it now near me when I'm reading it to look up words, which is something I haven't done for a long, long time. But I'm loving that aspect of it too. To which they said to me, well, now, if you had the Kindle, you just tap a button and the word meaning comes up. And I said, good, I get that. And then I explained, look, I'm not anti-Kindle, because they thought I was anti-Kindle. I'm not. There was a while I was a bit curious about it, but not at all. I believe in the hard copy book. You believe in the Kindle. But we can all live together and love each other. No one's going to fall out over that, I can tell you. What about our friend Andrew Scott? We mentioned him during the summer because he was playing this the lead role in Noel Coward's comedy, Present Laughter, in the UK. And sure, what happened to him last night? Well, didn't he only go and win an Evening Standard Theatre Award for his troubles? So congratulations to him for that. And I mentioned Noel Coward there, but I'm digging into the articles here because there's a whole piece on the black turtleneck. Now, to this day, I couldn't tell you the difference between a turtleneck and a polo neck. But apparently the black turtleneck came eventually to represent creative genius. And Noel Coward, the British playwright, aforementioned, sported one for a period in his 1920s heyday. He said his adoption of the garment was primarily for reasons of comfort, but it became a trademark that immediately suggested a disdain for convention. And that was his. The tirelessly androgynous actress Marlene Dietrich relished the turtleneck, pairing one with a baggy masculine suit and a knowing grin in the early 30s. But the true glory of the turtleneck didn't arrive until World War II, and that was the post-occupation cultural renaissance of Paris, and they all loved all of that. Miles Davis, Jacques Brel, Yves Montand, and so on. And then on it went to Joan Didion and all the thinkers in the 50s and 60s, Lou Reed, Gloria Steinem, and that was Andy Warhol, all loving the turtleneck. And of course, then more recently, you had Steve Jobs, and then the kind of disgraced health entrepreneur Elizabeth Holmes, who said she probably had 150 of them. How about that? So that's the turtleneck, which is making a great comeback. Now, in other news, what have I got for you? Well, I just want a quick mention from Friday's Late Late Show. I thought Westlife's performance of Flying Without Wings at the piano was a knockout, and I did something unusual for me. I went back and watched it, and I just thought it was just... particularly Mark's voice was standout, but the other three along with them, it was just very, very lovely. And then Christy Moore at the end of the programme is just one of life's golden people, and he delivered as he always does. Text says, what about Miracle on 34th Street? I don't know how that's not on the list. The list was compiled by people who probably just weren't thinking straight at the time. And it's not Christmas till I've watched Scrooge with Bill Murray, says another, and that's another beauty. So thank you for that. And Trish says, thank goodness, finally someone who disliked Love Actually as much as me. It's awful. Never understood why it was so popular. I enjoyed watching Great Expectations yesterday. You and me both, from a distance. We talked about monks, but what about the nuns? An Irish order of nuns has caught the eye of a top TV talent scout in the UK. The Poor Clares of Nuns Island in Galway are resisting invitations to appear, though, on Britain's Got Talent. They released a song last month called Calm the Soul. There's a song we could all do with in our lives, I'm sure. And it's clocked up more than 50,000 views online. The nuns are tickled, it says here in breakingnews.ie, by the invitation to appear on UK TV, but feel an appearance might be counterproductive to their cause. A researcher from the show has been in touch a number of times asking us to perform Calm the Soul. And we are thrilled by the invite, of course, but feel the message of the song might get lost somehow, said the abbess of the Poor Clare Monastery, Sister Colette. What can they do to convince her? I don't know. The polo neck, meanwhile, is folded over. The turtleneck is not. And that is a very simple explanation of it. So I can see the fold there exactly, and then non-fold. Thank you for that. Let's go to the Tuscan hills of Italy, where a picturesque 17th century convent is in disarray. It had to shut its doors because of an impossible love story. The convent of the Cappuccini fathers in San Sepolcro, which has been run by the Benedictine nuns since 2015, has been closed definitively despite the ongoing projects that they've been doing. The reason for the sudden closure is reported to be because a 40-year-old nun fell in love with a local man and was obliged to leave the convent, which left only three other nuns at the monastery, an 80-year-old and two novices, and they won't be able to keep up that work. They are in tears. And I'm also crying, said the lady who runs the whole place, adding that it would be hard for her to keep her relationship with the church after what happened, sparking speculation that she'd been forced out. Another one gone. Emu, the puppet. Orville, the puppet. These are two words and two avian creatures that will either spark joy, fear, happiness, or absolute ignorance in your heart, depending on when you were born and what and how many TV channels you had. But they completely resonate with me, Emu and Orville. And they, the puppets, but you might remember Emu attacked Michael Parkinson, I should say. I'm sure he would have had to go with Michael Jackson if he had a chance, but it was Michael Parkinson, as it happens, on TV. And that's a very famous moment that you can look up if you wish online on YouTube. And then Orville sang about wishing to fly, but he couldn't. And they are guiding at about £8,000 to £10,000 sterling if you need that level of puppetry in your life. Now, a dog that got locked out inside his owner's car, according to RTE.ie, stuck it in reverse and drove in circles for an hour. What a dog! The owner apparently stepped out of the car after making a wrong turn, and the Labrador then accidentally put the car in reverse, causing it to circle the cul-de-sac for an hour, hitting a post box and taking out a rubbish bin. That's all? That's the only bit of time. What a sight to come upon. How is that not a YouTube moment yet? I can't believe it. But no injuries were reported and the car sustained minor damage. The dog was fine, healthy and happy. I don't know if the same can be said for a mad cat on the cat hospital last night. There was this cat that they were fixing. And when I say last night, I was watching it last night. It was on, yeah, there was a repeat of it as well on yesterday afternoon. And there was a cat that was imported, if you like, brought over from America. But its claws had been removed because over in the States, it's legal. I didn't know this, but she was describing it very well, the lady, that over there, that you can get rid of them because they wreck your furniture and they might scratch kids and so on. So you can have them removed. But apparently it's illegal in Europe because it's considered, I presume, cruel and completely against the order of things. You have claws. You wouldn't pull a human's fingernails out because they're awkward. So this cat would, but the lady who owned the cat seemed to suggest that she went away, she came back to Ireland for a party to celebrate, came home, and her, and this is probably key to the sentence, ex-husband had got the cat neutered and declawed. There's a whole subplot to that story, but we won't go there tonight. Hello, Muppet Christmas Carol, Maeve and Leitrim. P.S. Best of luck for Friday. Thank you, Maeve. On both counts, Muppet Christmas Carol is a staple. Would you describe this as news? The Queen has cancelled a 60th birthday bash she had planned for Prince Andrew and his charities in February and has downgraded it to a small family dinner. No shocks there. Ryan, Diana, Ross Mania. Just got them. Yay, Aisling. Aisling is going to go and see Diana Ross. Well, you're going to have a great time. Apparently it's really good. She'll be great, by the way. She'll be great. Charlie's Angels reboot has fallen flat on its face. It was brought out in the USA at the weekend, and it's a flop, unfortunately, for poor old Elizabeth Banks, the writer, director, producer and star of the Charlie's Angels reboot. Performed so badly that Sony is reportedly pulling back on its promotion. So that really didn't work out. The Staircase, a lot of you would have listened to that documentary, is now, or watched it even, is going to be made into a film starring Harrison Ford, in case you were curious about that. And that's where I'm going to leave that for now. Ethna tells me that she enjoyed watching Sense and Sensibility in front of a warm stove with a glass of wine, with the rain pelting down outside in Yall. It was the perfect afternoon, was it not, for such viewing. So that's absolutely gorgeous. Yep, well done. Nothing like a black and white, even though that your version was colour, and that's a lovely way to spend a day. Well, where are we going to go now? All the Leaves Are Brown. Yes, that's what I wanted to do. All the Leaves Are Brown. I'm going to go with this version of it, though. Yeah, I'm glad you like that. How wonderful. More, please, says Joan. Yeah, Jose Feliciano, and he does some Billy in Dublin like that, and so did Dave Lang. Always prefer this version. Well played. Yeah, glad you like that, and it's different, but it is. He's some talent on the guitar, no doubt about that. He's played Dublin a few times, and a big fan base here. Haven't you read The Name of the Rose by Umberto Eco? It's excellent to read for you, says Dave Foley in Grayson. Well, let me make my way through the Sansom stories, and I'll come back to you on that. I haven't read it. I know it as a movie as well as a book, obviously. But think Sean Connery and Christian Slater, strangely, in my head for that. Francis, The Man Who Came to Dinner. Great and funny Christmas movie with Jimmy Durante and Monty Woolley and Bette Davis. Have it on video if you don't mind. And look forward to imposing it on my family again this Christmas. Good. It's good because the family, you say that you're imposing it on them. I think they'll probably quite enjoy that. That's your thing. And The Shop Around the Corner, starring Jimmy Stewart, my favourite, Margaret Sullivan and Frank Morgan. Was Frank Morgan the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz? Why do I have that in my head? Anyway, it's one of my favourite Christmas movies, says Marion Cork. And The Bishop's Wife, which I watched last year for the first time with Loretta Young and Cary Grant and David Niven. That's a lovely film. As you say, at this time of year, it's beautiful. Bringing Up Baby. Saw that too with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. You watched it yesterday afternoon with your mother and your husband. Good. Best Sunday afternoon. Hilarious. Laughter hearts out in front of the fire. Haven't watched it for years. Recommended highly after the toy show for you. A classic. Sunday afternoons are going to be the oldies from now on. What a lovely thing to do. Because I think... Oh, he played the wizard. No, he didn't play... Sorry, thank you. It's the wizard. Because you see his name in the credits. I wasn't sure which one. Thank you. Because sometimes you might be looking at, say, a streaming service and you're just going round in circles, the carousel of nothingness, going, why am I on this? And then you realise there's much better stuff either closer to home or just an old movie. Alistair Sims in the 1951 Scrooge is my all-time Christmas Eve movie. I never tire of it. It's Claire in Spain listening to ye. Well, Claire, you're in Spain listening to us and we're here listening to the guy blowing the leaves out of the way. So we have two. The leaf blower cometh. The leaf blower is funny. He works hard. That's why I played that song, because it reminded me every time I see him, he's all the leaves are brown, I think. Let's go for one more text from Rena, who says that I love all the C.J. Sansom books, apart from Tombland, the most recent one, not quite as good. Half of mine seem to be in the large format print. Great. So they are. That's all I needed to know. They are available. Now I'll just go and find them. Can't remember where I bought them, but they are available. And OK, I'll get into that. And thank you kindly for telling me that. The dog reversing in the car is already on YouTube. Thank you, Rory, for letting me know that. And I will probably not look at that, but I will. I am glad that you told me that it's there so I can tell everyone else to do just that. Daniel O'Donnell is our guest this morning. I haven't seen Daniel for a little while in real life. So we'll see him live in studio. If you want to have a quick word with him or ask him a question or make a comment, please do 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie.